2 weeks ago, I received a package from the diocese, from the Office of Evangelization and Catechism. And in it, they informed me that today kicks off Natural Family Planning Awareness Week, and that Thursday is the 45th anniversary of the papal encyclical Humanae Vitae, which upheld the Church's prohibition on contraception. So I thought to myself, what could be a better way to endear myself to my new worshiping community than to preach on the topic of birth control? But you know, sometimes you gotta play the cards you're dealt. Before I start, I know this is a hot button issue. So Wednesday night at 7:30 in the parish hall, I'm having an open forum Q&A. Come, any questions, comments, rebuttals, threats, bring them all. If you can't make Wednesday night, make an appointment to see me, write me a letter, email, smoke signal. I don't tweet because I'm not a twit. All right. The year is 1930. And you might think, well, Father Jerome, 1930? That's like ancient history. But if you think about it, our beloved Father Vic was 9 years old. Can you believe that? In 1930, something happened that would radically change, I'm going to argue in my homily, our world. In 1930, the Anglican Church, at its Lambeth Conference, said, we are going to accept contraception as part of our faith tradition. Now, it's so radical because for 1900 years, all of Christendom had a unified teaching against contraception. And if you think, well, Father Jerome, this is a real recent issue, it's not. If you go back and read chapter 38 of the book of Genesis, Father Vic wasn't alive then, you'll see that this issue has been with us pretty much from the beginning. Over the next four centuries, every other Protestant Christian denomination would accept the use of contraception. So in 1968, with the world watching, Pope Paul gave the answer for the Catholic Church. What are you Catholics going to say about this issue? So on July 25th, 1968, he released his encyclical, Humanae Vitae, which upheld the Church's prohibition on contraception. Now, this encyclical is only about 10 pages long, and you can find it on the internet. So I'm asking you all to read it. There will be a quiz next week. Humanae Vitae is spelled Humanae, human, with an A-E at the end. Vitae, V-I-T-A-E. Just Google it and you can find it. If you don't know what Google is, ask your grandchild and they will help you figure that out. So in this encyclical, Pope Paul lays out all the teachings, all the scripture, all that good stuff. But we can sort of debate, did they really mean this? Did they really blah, 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 blah. So I'm not going to go there. I trust you to go and read it on your own. But in the encyclical, he makes a number of prophecies. And I'm going to look at these prophecies today to say, hey, did they come true or not? Over the past 45 years, three or four generations, if you see from birth to sexual maturity, have come of age in this contraceptive worldview. Now, what I'm about to say is not a condemnation of anyone. I'm in the ministry of salvation, not condemnation. But if we're going to heal our families, heal our society, and heal our world, I think we have to start looking at this issue. So let's look at these three prophecies. The first one, Pope Paul wrote, quote, consider how easily the course of action could open wide the way for marital infidelity. Now, we didn't need artificial birth control to give us marital infidelity. If you go back to chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, one chapter after the fall, you see it starts making its way into the world. But with artificial birth control, it becomes a lot easier for a person to fall into physical marital infidelity. You don't have to worry about pregnancy. A lot easier to slip in a moment of weakness. But what about spiritual and psychological infidelity to God and to each other? Well, the scriptures talk about our relationship with God using nuptial or marital language. Christ's first miracle was at the wedding of Cana. God wants to be in this loving relationship with us that lasts to death in this world, but for eternity in the next. This relationship is supposed to bring forth more life. So with this understanding, look at our world today. How many Catholics are civilly but not sacramentally married? Or how many are just living together? What are we saying about God in these relationships? We don't want you in this relationship. You're great out there, but we're all set by ourselves. No thank you, God. Over the past 45 years, what has happened to our marriages regarding divorce? Yes, there are legitimate circumstances, the church acknowledges that, where divorce may be the answer. But the alarming rates at which it's happening, what are we saying about those vows? A lifelong, exclusive vow between two people and God, if our marriages are falling apart at an alarming rate. No newlywed turns to his beloved on their wedding night and says, "Honey, this is the greatest day of my life, but you know what? I can't wait to get divorced." We nervously laugh at that, but tragically, for too many of our marriages, this is the reality that's happening. The world was not a perfect place before 1968, but look at what's happened to our understanding of our relationship with God and each other over these past 45 years. Pope Paul warned us what would happen. The next prophecy, he says, quote, "The effect that gives cause for alarm is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to a woman, and disregarding her physical and emotional equilibrium, reduce her to being a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires." Again, read the scriptures. We see that coming up time and time again. But just a week or two ago, I read an article that made me want to cry. In this article, it said that this young woman was brutalized, PG-13, you know what I'm talking about, by two young men. Well, that made me want to cry, first of all. But then what also wanted to make me cry and enraged me is what happened. What happened was this woman wanted justice. She went to the authorities and wanted to have these two young men arrested. And prominent community members and some talking heads in the media started to blame the young woman. They said, "Who are you to ruin the two lives of these young men? They have everything in front of them. Don't press charges against them." I thought, are you kidding me? I've dealt with survivors of what I'm talking about. Every day of their life is a challenge. Their lives are the ones that were ruined. This woman's physical and emotional well-being was brutally violated because these two young men reduced her to nothing more than an instrument of their satisfaction. Our women deserve a lot better than this. Finally, the third prophecy I'd like to look at is what Pope Paul said regarding our relationship with our government. He said, "Who will blame a government which, in its attempt to resolve the problems affecting an entire country, resorts to the same measures as are regarded as lawful by married people in the solution of a particular family difficulty? Should they," the government, "regard this as necessary, they," the government, "may impose their use on everyone." Contraception was a presidential election campaign issue a year ago. Our church is suing our government because our government is saying you must provide contraception and abortifacients for your people. There are elected government officials and NGOs that are saying contraception is a basic human right, which means, guess what? We're going to give it to everyone. Are these not fulfillments of the Pope's prophecies from 45 years ago? Before I move to my conclusion, I know that there are steps missing in my argument. I only have so much time, and I see some of the pitchforks starting to come up. I know these issues are a lot bigger than I can address in the time that I have with you today. My homily is not meant to be the last word, but an invitation for us to start talking about this issue, which is plaguing our society. So come Wednesday night, make an appointment, email me, whatever, however you can communicate with me. I'm more than willing to talk to anybody about anything I've said today. What I'd ask is not to have that conversation right after Mass with 400 people walking by trying to shake hands. Not really a good place to have a conversation. So in 1968, there were many dissenting voices, as there are today, regarding the Church's teachings on contraception. 87 Catholic theologians wrote an open letter in which they said, "Birth control is necessary to preserve and foster the values and sacredness of marriage." 5,000 Roman Catholic doctors wrote a letter of protest against the Church's teachings. And 2,600 scientists wrote another letter of protest in which they said this teaching is, quote, immoral. Scientists are saying this. But which side was right 45 years ago? Which side is right today? What has happened to our marriages? What has happened to how we treat each other? What has happened to our relationship between us and our government in the issues of faith and morals? Pope Paul spoke prophetically, and I hope I've argued that his prophecies have come true. I hope you see that, unfortunately, in the world around us. So if you do subscribe to a contraceptive ideology, maybe it's time to rethink that position. Start doing your homework. Look at the signs of the times. If you support the Church's teaching, maybe it's time to speak out in your families, at your place of work. Call your government officials and tell them, we need better than this. With God's help, we can heal our families. We can heal our society. We can heal our world. In today's gospel, Martha and Mary were given a choice, and we're told that Mary chose the better part. We are given a choice for ourselves, for our children, for our grandchildren today, as to what kind of world we want to live in. We are given a choice. We must choose the better way.